And we're back. If you're wondering what happened to Geopolitics and Empire, well, sometimes I like to mysteriously disappear for months on end. I took an unprecedented 3-month leave of absence for some R&R, among other things, but I'm back now and keen on revving up the podcast engines. Although, to tell you the truth, being away for so long, I've almost forgotten how this podcast thing works. While away, I did manage to meet some of my Croatian dissident heroes, including Admiral Davor Domazet Lošo, who I had the privilege of spending a few hours with over lunch in Zagreb, and he graciously gifted some of his books to me. This is in English, The War That Prevented Genocide, which was used in, I think, international court to defend some Croatian generals, also Hrvat Jest Ratnik, and some others, and I picked up his latest books on what's going on in the world, and I've mentioned him in the podcast. In the past, he's popularized the term the Western occult oligarchy, Zapadna okultna oligarchia. I also got to hang out with and spend the evening with Krešimir Mišak, who hosts the famous Na rubu znanosti, or On the Edge of Science, program on Croatian television weekly. It's been going on for, I think, a few decades now, and he's well over 800 interviews he's conducted with some of the same people as I have, Daniel Esteling, William Engdahl, among perhaps a few others. He's also authored over a dozen books. I've got some of them with me. This one he wrote on transhumanism. And so I recorded a podcast with him in Croatian, a first for Geopolitics and Empire. I'll have subtitles in English for that. And I also had a great sit-down in English with a young Croatian anti-globalist called Luka Golish Babic. I paused the Substack paid subscriptions, and so for my supporters, don't be startled when in a week or two you begin to receive a monthly charge on your credit or debit card again. That's just your Geopolitics and Empire membership. Remember that becoming a paid Substack subscriber is the best way to support me. Y'all are what keep the lights on and put food on the table, so thank you from the bottom of my heart. Donations work as well for the duration of my absence, my income virtually ground to a halt. So if you're keen on seeing more of and supporting Geopolitics and Empire, feel free to drop some donations. And one more thing. Yes, it's that time of year again. This October, the Expat Money Online Summit is back, put together by Mikkel Thorup, host of the Expat Money Show. He's been a guest on this program and vice versa. This free online event is packed with real strategies you can use to enhance your freedom and global mobility right now, like acquiring second residencies and citizenships, legally mitigating your tax burden, purchasing international real estate, holding precious metals offshore, and more. This year's summit is focused on Latin America, and for good reason, from Argentina's free market shift to Bukele's transformation of El Salvador to Panama and Paraguay's simple residency programs, the smart money is moving south of the border. Over three jam-packed days from October 10th to October 12th, Mikkel is bringing together top-tier experts to help you build your offshore plan B quickly and effectively in the region. Head over to expatmoneysummit.com to reserve your free ticket. Today, I'll once again be speaking on one of the exclusive VIP panels where we'll discuss Trump's plans for Latin America. Listeners of the show can use the code EMPIRE for 20% off a VIP ticket, which includes lifetime replays, exclusive panels, and more. So visit expatmoneysummit.com. You can reserve your free ticket to the summit today. And also don't forget to use the code EMPIRE if you want VIP access. You'll get 20% off. All right. Without further ado, here's my sit down with Max Egan, funnily enough, at some undisclosed location on the Dalmatian coast. Welcome to Geopolitics and Empire Croatia edition. We're here in Dalmatia with Max Egan, and it's a bit of a funny story because last year I was at Anarchapulco in Acapulco at your bar, and I was staying, I think, next to your home, and it's funny to find you now here. Random coincidence that you're here in town by me in Croatia. And so, kako si, Max? Šta ima? How's it going?
Good, good. It's good to be here.
And real quick, for maybe for some listeners who are not aware of Max Egan and Crow House, if you could just tell us
whatever you want in the few minutes about the work you do yourself.
I'm terrible at self-promotion. I'm just an independent voice that's been speaking out for a long time. I like to say many of us. I've managed to get myself banned pretty well everywhere. Banned on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, SoundCloud, like everywhere you can think of. But, just an independent voice trying to sort of make a difference and speak up for the world, speak up for humanity, and attempting to change the direction that we're going in, like so many others are doing at this period in our history. So, not much to say, really. I was a musician for most of my life and started doing this instead just because it kind of needed to be done.
Yeah, I've been following your walk and talks, your podcast for a few years now, and it's been just kind of fun to randomly meet in person. And we cover some of the same stuff. And listeners know that I'm most concerned with, the global elite that are pushing for a totalitarian world state and the implementation of this electronic concentration camp, among other developments. And so maybe just to start big picture, as I always like to, and then drill on down, what are sort of your thoughts of where we're at, with this project, this program, who's running the show, from your vantage point, what's their operating system, what's their plan, and so forth?
Well, people have got to, when you even look at the world, you've got to notice that, what's going on in your country, it's going on in my country, it's going on in every country. And none of this really makes sense if you've got the world as it's presented to us to be. If it's a system of independent countries and independent nations and independent governments, then why is every country going in the same direction? You've got to ask that question. And what I've described this as, like for many years, is we have a criminal cabal. We have a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of governments and nations who play all the people off against each other and make them believe they need government there to protect them from the other governments. And it's just one big scam. It's a scam designed to give us, put us in a prison and to convince us to give our rights away and give everything that makes us human away. The world is run by very, very evil people, and it's in every single country. You can't differentiate between the countries. And what they're doing, like through fear and fear of terrorism and fear of climate change and all the rubbish that they cook up, they're getting us to lock ourselves down into a surveillance system. I mean, they tried it with COVID. They put out a certain, get you to go and lock yourself down and take the jab or else. And a lot of people didn't comply, but a lot of people did. And that was kind of a test run for what they're doing now. And they're planning on a new scamdemic as well. So they just had an event, I think, or they're having it next month, called Pegasus, which is like Event 201 that they had just before COVID, where they ran through the scenario of what they would do if there was a coronavirus outbreak. And then there was a coronavirus outbreak, of course. So now they're doing that again of how they're going to handle the next plandemic, which means they're about to stage another one. I would say probably even early next year. Wouldn't surprise me. So, but that's the way you've got to look at it. I mean, it's a criminal cabal. And we're being tricked into believing that we need government to protect us. And we don't. Government, I said in my first film back in 2008, World War III has already started. It's a war being waged by the government and the bankers and the elite of the world against the people of the world. And it's a soft kill. It's a soft war. Nobody really knows it's going on, but it is. It's already going on. One of the most important things that's happened to us over the last couple of hundred years is a complete loss of life skills. We've become completely dependent upon a system which puts us basically at the bottom of the food chain. The whole system is designed to support the economic model, and we are the most expendable thing within that model. And people have been pushed into cities. They've lost all their life skills. They're all truckitarians. They live from supermarkets. All you got to do is stop the trucks flowing, and nobody's going to know how to do anything. Kids these days don't even know how to plant a seed, half of them, They've got to read an instruction book on how to grow a lettuce. It's just unbelievable. So that's kind of the situation we're in. Very, very dangerous situation where we've become completely dependent upon a system which is run by corporate criminals. And it's important that people see this and see where we're going. I think one of the most important things people can do is is build community with the people they know and get back in touch with their life skills.
Yeah, and I'd like to stress, because something that I've been freaking out a lot about, and I've got multiple citizenships, and I'm just seeing them accelerate in every single, you know, we're here in Croatia. You know, we both live in Mexico at the moment. I'm also from the U.S., and I'm seeing them implement the same strategies. Like here in Croatia, we have the Osobna, which is like your national ID that you have to get to do anything. In Mexico now, they're bringing, we were talking about this last night, the Cuerpo Biometrico, the biometric Mexican national ID. They're bringing in real ID. And it's really like, I get listeners, you know, I had a listener send me an email a few weeks ago. They're bringing in the biometric Mexican ID. Aren't you going to leave? And I'm like, well, where am I going to go? Because it's just your further thought that this is happening in every single nation, right? Mm. There's no...
Exactly. You know, and I think it's going to be a little slower in Mexico. And that's one of the reasons I'm there. I mean, 60% of people in Mexico don't even have bank accounts. So it's going to be slower to come in. But they're bringing it in through travel, basically. Anyone who wants to travel. I mean, I noticed coming through the airports now, it's all biometrics. Coming here to Croatia, it was all biometrics. I didn't have to show my boarding pass or anything. Just stand in front of the camera and a little green arrow comes up and that's it. So you know, once you've shown your passport and you've gone through that customs area and you're at the gate, there's no need for any more ID or any of that stuff. It's all biometrics. And this is coming in everywhere. And soon, you know, this is when they get you to renew your bank card every 5 years and you've got to renew this and renew that. Soon you're going to need digital ID even to get online to do anything. And it's coming in every country and you can escape it as much as you can for a while. But, you know, I mean, I said on my last video report, if you really want to save the world, every country needs to stand up and basically overthrow their governments, realize that they're not valid governments. It's a criminal cabal. You know, that is every problem we face in the world, whether it's starvation, whether it's homelessness, whether it's mass immigration, all this stuff happening is happening because it's legislated to happen by politicians who are sitting in abuse of the office that they hold. They've breached the trust of the people, the trust that the people gave them. They've abdicated their privilege to govern, which is a privilege. It's not a right. You know, but people can't see that. You know, they see there's a problem and they think, well, I'll have to petition the government to change it. Now, the government's the one who created it, and they did it deliberately. And they're doing it all around the world. You know, we've got to see what this system is. It's not really a system of governments and nations. Like I said, it's a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal. Until we're prepared to identify that and call it out for what it is and get rid of these people, then we're just going to go where we're going to go. I mean, we've got a kakistocracy running the world. Kakistocracy defined as rule by the very worst elements of society who rule exclusively in their own interests to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Essentially rule by the shit people. That's what kakistocracy is. And that's what we've got. And people have to identify that and see that and stand up and do something about it. I mean, your government is invalid. They've invalidated themselves, even through what's going on in Gaza Strip, what's going on in Palestine. This is a genocide, live-streamed genocide happening for the last 2 years. Any politician who's supporting this is a war criminal, regardless of what they say, regardless of what their little law things say and their little paragraphs of law and phrases of law. This is an open war crime. This is whatever excuse you've got, you don't kill and murder children. You don't blow their hands and feet up. You don't do what they've done to Gaza. And call yourself a human being, call yourself a politician, call yourself just or valid in any way, shape, or form. You know, the fact that they've allowed our governments, I mean, our countries to be overrun with migrants and all the stuff they've done. This is all treason. All of it is treason. And until the people are prepared to call that out for what it is and stop petitioning these people for change, then we're not going to get anywhere. And we're reaching that point now. Well, like we've almost reached the point of no return. If the people don't stand up and do something about this, because ultimately, I mean, you can blame the governments, you can blame the people with small hats, blame the Jesuits, the Freemasons, anyone you want to blame. Ultimately, it's our tolerance of wrong behavior which has caused all of this to happen.
Yes, so many thoughts here. I wanted to jest. You mentioned homelessness, and hey, isn't Trump going to solve homelessness? He's federalizing the police and bringing in National Guard from town. To town. I mean, it's maybe just on that thought, you know, it's total Trojan horse. I've been already for years now saying Trump is the new world order. And people just don't. But yeah, Trump is a Trojan horse. I've been saying that for a while. And alt media, maybe just on that thought, your thoughts on alt media, because there are a lot of Pied Pipers now. You're talking about Israel Netanyahu, who's been doing the podcast circuit, I think, with the Theo guy and the trigonometry folks. And so you're really seeing people who you wouldn't have thought co-opted, basically now pushing the New World Order. I refer now to Alex Jones and InfoWars as like, they sound like Fox News. From a few years ago.
I mean, Alex Jones the other day said he approves of invading Venezuela. You know, I'm not one for a regime change, but I approve of this. You know, he's bought and paid for the whole thing. But you know, they're losing the information war. The fact that Benjamin Netanyahu, who's out there doing the podcast circuit, shows you how much they're losing the information war. So, and the alternate media. I mean, most of it's not alternate media at all. There's not a lot of people actually telling you the truth. And this whole conflict in Gaza has exposed all of them. I mean, anybody who hasn't at least mentioned what's going on, this is major. And I've said for so many years, you know, Palestine is the greatest moral dilemma we face in the world today. And if we don't do something about it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And they're showing you what they're prepared to do in Gaza, what they're prepared to do in all of our countries. And Trump is an absolute player. I mean, he's a war criminal. He's as bad as Netanyahu. He's the one who's funding all this. He supports everything they're doing in Gaza, which is blatant ethnic cleansing. I've got videos of children with their hands and feet blown off, for God's sake, and they're forced to walk around on the stumps of their ankles, and they've got no hands. I mean, who does this? Who does this to children, and who says that it's okay? You know, Trump's saying, we're going to own Gaza. America's going to take control of the whole thing. You can't live there. It's a war zone, you know. Well, they've turned it into all that, you know. And they're just going, they're gassing them now. They gassed 30 people this morning or 300 people this morning. It's incredible, some of the stuff they're doing there. And they're just going in and cleansing the entire Gaza Strip. You know, the foreign minister, Smotok or whatever his name is.
Smotrich.
Yeah. He said that the people in Gaza have the choice to leave or starve to death. That's it. That's the only choice they've got. Even another minister saying, you know, we're killing them too quickly. We need to find more painful ways of killing them. I mean, this is the mentality of these people. And they dare to say it's not genocide. It's not ethnic cleansing. You know, it's incredible. And this is what Trump is supporting. Trump has been a player since day one. You know, drain the swamp. He didn't drain the swamp. He renamed it to government protected wetlands is all he did. You know, and he brought drained the swamp from the states and brought them into the White House is what he did. You know,
and just to go back to sort of finalize the point, the technocracy topic, because you mentioned Gaza, and there, many people have reported from Dan Cohen and many others. You know, you got the Unit 8200. You know, the that's famous. That's sort of almost like the cyber brain for the world. Because a lot of countries now are using these Israeli spy tech. Mexico was the first government to buy Pegasus spyware. Now they have Titan, and it's got all of our data. They know exactly where we are. You know, the lavender stuff, the drones now, the AI kill lists, and you know, the electronic concentration camp that is Gaza. That people have said, you know, that they're prototyping that, and then they're going to bring that to the rest of the world. You know, where I live in Guadalajara, I was living in Kazakhstan until 2020. I fled COVID-1984. Told this story before, but I found out that Guadalajara is a de facto 15-minute city. Like, I found the actual local government white papers. They call it Resilient City. It's a 15-minute city. Just the last year, they announced they're going to make a 15-minute city of Mexico City. I assume they're going to chop it up into multiple 15-minute Hunger Game districts. And Sonora, another state in Mexico, they announced that a few months ago. They made a deal with Foxconn. They're going to turn the capital, Hermosillo, into a 15-minute smart city and then replicate that to the other parts of the state. And so they're taking that Gaza model. And just to go back, how well do you think they could implement this, as one of my past guests, Edwin Black, called it, I like his term, the algorithm ghetto, because I have some guests on that are not as optimistic, who think they won't be able to push it as far as they'd like, because you know, you mentioned the situation sort of in Mexico where it's hard to implement these technologies. You know, how bad do you think it could get?
Oh, it could get absolutely horrendous. It could get the most dystopian gulag system you've ever imagined, or beyond what you could imagine, if we allow it to happen. That's the thing. It all comes down to us if we allow this to happen. You know, it's going to be difficult in Mexico, but like I said, we've almost reached the point of no return. They just do it. They do it with. They start at the top end, like with the travelers and stuff like that, through airports and, you know, the fact that you've got to renew your bank card and all this sort of stuff, and so it comes out with a chip on it, the next one, and you just gradually do it. And it gets to the point where soon the little guys will just be squeezed out. The guys walking around Bonfield with the little taco stands and stuff will just get squeezed out. They'll have to do it if they want to still continue with business. So, I mean, it's got to a point now where it's very difficult to stop if people don't stand up and realize what their governments are doing and realize it's all one system. You know, I've been very optimistic and had great faith in humanity doing my podcast like for almost 20 years now. But since this genocide in Gaza started, and I've said for years that the system in Gaza and West Bank is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And if we don't deal with it, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. Like you say, this is what's coming to all of our countries. They're showing you what they're prepared to do. And the solution lies with us. I mean, this is why I continue to do what I do and continue to try to wake people up, as futile as it may seem sometimes. I mean, the other option is to just forget about it and walk away and let it happen. And you can't do that. So you've got to push back in the way that you can. But we need the weight of numbers. And if we've got enough aware people, all it takes is that word no. That's all it takes, is to realize that the government only has the authority over you that you grant them, and they're all in abuse of office. They've all breached the right of that authority or the privilege of that authority. They've abdicated their privilege to govern just through what they've done. But no one's prepared to call that out. You know, if you do, you're a lone voice, you get hacked down. So you've got to try to reach the people around you, lead by example in your own community. Last time I was in Croatia last year, I did like 10 or 12 talks around the country just to try to get people to see what was coming and to stand up and do something about it. We're seeing it in Serbia now, like the whole of Serbia is sort of standing up wanting to overthrow their government. That's a good thing. It needs to happen in every single country, you know. So we've kind of gotten to that point, you know. And again, I don't even think we need violence. We just need people to understand that they don't have the authority that you think they have. And if they ever did, well, they've abdicated that privilege through their actions over the last 4 or 5 years through COVID, all this stuff. And we tried to kill half the population with these injections, which I won't call a vaccine because there was no COVID, so there was no vaccine for COVID. And the whole thing was a scam just to give these injections to people. They've already killed hundreds of thousands of people through that injection. And Trump calls himself the father of the vaccine. How can anybody trust this guy? I mean, honestly, it's incredible. One thing about Trump, he's a good actor. He's a really good actor. I mean, he's got a whole profile on IMDb movie site, you know, all the films and reality TV shows and all the stuff he's in. And now he's just acting that he's the president, you know, and he's quite good at it, and people believe him.
Yeah, he's probably pushing Operation Warp Speed 2.0, the mRNA Stargate thing. And, you know, I made the point a couple months back. I mean, all of these figures, the thing that shocks me with some, you know, some of the people you can smell right off the bat, but then other people who played a good role, who seemed authentic, like RFK Jr., who gave great speeches, and now he's like, I want all Americans to wear wearables by the end of 4 years. Or Tulsi Gabbard, who's like, no, you know, speaking some truth on Syria, but then she's like the new John Bolton, right? You know, there's that meme where, you know, I'm the captain now, and it's her face, and she's like, I'm John Bolton now, and it's just go down the line. And I thought I mentioned, you know, what you're saying, I totally agree. You know, the sort of Martin Luther King technique of nonviolent civil disobedience. Our gracious hosts here in Croatia, I see on their fridge right there, they've got a magnet that says, no.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's basically, we need enough people saying no. Since we're on that topic of solutions, is it what you just encapsulated, is that basically it? Our only hope is enough people saying no? Because you have people, you know, I think about, I want to have a place maybe outside of the city, wherever I'm living, whether Mexico or Croatia, like a little farm. So if they freeze my bank accounts, I can't buy food. I've got at least a well with water and food. But I guess eventually they'll get to you there. They'll send drones, or they'll say, you got to pay your property tax. But since your bank has been frozen, you can't pay your property tax, so they expropriate your stuff. I mean, any thoughts on some of these other solutions? Do they just buy time, or is the big one what you just...
Well, you've got to, it's got to be done through the masses, through the people, like mass awareness, mass awakening. Because like I said, the only reason they have authority to do these things is because people perceive their authority to be true, to be real. And it's not. And if it ever was, well, they've abdicated that privilege through their own actions. So, I mean, people say non-violent revolution will never work because they've got all the guns, they've got all the police. I mean, the police are a big problem. The police are like a wall of Kevlar armed clad stupidity, like a brick wall of stupidity between you and freedom. You know, the police are there to protect the government, not the people, not to, you know, uphold the rights of the people or protect freedom of the people or anything like that, not to protect society. They're there to protect government. They're there to enforce law, no matter how invalid that law is. And that's a huge problem. You know, the fact that people will support this. I mean, though in Serbia, a lot of the cops have turned against the government now. So I believe they're actually got Croatian people going in there and putting on Serbian uniforms and working for the government now because a lot of the Serbian police won't do it. So, I mean, that's an issue. If it gets to the point where, you know, they're going to be violent against us because we're saying no, well, then we may have to resort to counter-violence. But we shouldn't be the ones who start the violence. That's counterproductive. You know, you just end up, you know, with insurrection and the media plays it the way they play it. If you can get enough people to wake up and just look at the world, like look at what the world was like in the 70s or the 80s and look at what it's like now. Look at how mass surveilled you are in everything you do. And it's not because of the terrorists. You know, it's not because of any of the reasons they give you. Look at the amount of freedoms you don't have now that you did have as recently as 10 or 20 years ago. And you start to see where the problem is. And you know, like I said, it's our belief in their authority. We've just got to say no. I say no with all this stuff. I mean, I've managed to get to 68 years old, 68 next month. I've navigated my way through the system my whole life, and I've never complied with anything. I've never paid any taxes. I've never done any of the stuff they've wanted me to do. If they've ever taken me to court, I've been able to walk out of that courtroom a free man by simply treating the judge as another human being, the same as me, and not respecting their authority, getting them to show who I've trespassed against or what crime I've actually committed, where's the injured party, any of this stuff, you know. You know, I'm not part of your corporate system because it's all corporate law, it's all contract law, and there's no valid contract you've ever had with government. If we can get enough people to understand this, then they simply stand up and say, hey, no, we're not doing this anymore, we're going in this direction. You know, and you guys, you're all in abusive office, so get out of the building. And there's nothing they can do against that if enough people can get that into their head. But if they don't, well, unfortunately, the sleeping masses are just going to drag us off the cliff with them, and there's not a lot we can do about it. If we try violence or insurrection, we'll just be outlawed, we'll be named as terrorists or whatever, and we'll be taken out. That's the problem. So that's why I do what I do, why you do what you do, why so many people are out there just speaking this truth and getting it out to people, trying to inspire them to be themselves. Everything I've ever done in my podcast is try to get people to remember who and what they are. You know, because these people that are doing this to you are just people like you. There's no reason you owe them any allegiance or need to respect their authority in any way. You know, like I said, even if their authority was valid, well, they've abdicated that privilege through their actions. So, you know, we're just not prepared to call it. We want to keep our head down and hope it'll all go away. Well, it's not going to go away. And there's no way you can keep your head down. It's just going to keep coming if we continue to comply with it. We've got to stop complying with our own slavery. That's really the only solution, you know?
You mentioned them classifying us as terrorists. And, you know, we hear a lot, some of the ground zero countries where they're implementing these, you know, like the UK, Northern Europe, where they want to break encryption and be able to read our emails and telegrams and WhatsApp messages. And I just read last week, I think our mutual friend here, she shared the story. I saw the headline in Croatian paper. So now in Croatia, they want to do that. In Mexico just this week. And it's funny, they use the pretext of, as you said, security or terrorism because they want to read our email, all of our messaging. And I'm thinking in the town where I live in Mexico, the story just a few days ago was like a group of local police, cops, authorities that are supposed to protect us were being investigated that they killed an entire family of Mexicans. You know, the father was running a legit business, I guess, of loans, and so he had a lot of cash in his house, and so they killed him and his entire family. And so, and it actually, the headline actually said, they were declaring Grafeno S, the DeGoogle phone, as I think this was in Spain. They were saying that only criminals use DeGoogle phones, so the cops are worried about, you know, citizens using DeGoogle phones. And I'm like, you guys are literally murdering us. And so I thought I'd mention that. Just it's insane.
So the phone is people connect their phone to everything. So the phone is how they get you. They can track and trace you with everything. When I went into Australia recently, they confiscated my de-Googled phone. And they weren't happy that I had a graphene operating system installed on it. So they opened up my WhatsApp, and there was messages that people had sent me while I was in transit. One of them was a review of the Melbourne synagogue firebombing. So the cops downloaded that message, that little video, and then said, that's terrorist content you've got on your phone. Well, hang on, you just downloaded it onto my phone. You know, I didn't even know that I had that message. And they did that basically because it was a de-Googled phone. So, yeah, I mean, and they confiscated my phone. They did a bunch of stuff. I mean, they didn't see my laptop, so I didn't complain about the phone. I just let them take it, you know. They didn't see my laptop in my laptop bag. It's a laptop bag, and they didn't see the laptop. I couldn't figure this one out, but that's what they do. I mean, the phone is the gateway device that is linked to everything. I mean, they recently reinstated my YouTube channel after 5 years. And I looked at it like day before yesterday. I thought, I wonder if I can upload a video to it. And they said, well, we need to verify it's you, so give us your new phone number. So once they get your phone number, they can look at every account that's linked to your bank account, your Facebook, your whatever. And they've got tabs on all of you. Then they can look at geotracing and see where that phone's been for the last 6 months and find out what your moves are, who you hang out with, all that sort of stuff. Cell phones are insidious. You know? So, yeah, I mean, they're trying everything they can. But again, it all comes down to us complying with their authority and believing their authority is real. And of course the police would do that, especially if the guy's got a lot of money. They're going to kill him and take their money. In Acapulco in 2018, the locals actually picked up guns and got on the back of pickups and chased the police out of town, out of Acapulco, because they went, well, this is where all the corruption's coming from, is from the police. They literally chased them out of town. So there's no police in Acapulco anymore. There's National Guard that wear police outfits, but they're actually National Guard. They're not police. So, yeah, interesting.
Any thoughts, before moving on to stuff like geopolitics, transhumanism, that's sort of like the next extension of technocracy. What are your thoughts with, Elon Musk and Grok and Neuralink and all this madness and the biodigital convergence? Just what are your thoughts here?
This is something I've been warning people about since 2008, since my first film. And I did my last film I put out in 2010 was all about transhumanism, how they're going to use vaccines and all the stuff they've done. That's a lot of what the mRNA jab is all about, is transhumanism, putting this operating system into people. That's the ultimate goal, is to have us all hooked up to the mainframe. Like they talk about the Internet of Things, also the Internet of Bodies. They want everybody connected online. So they're monitoring everybody's thoughts, their dreams, everything. And that's the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate slavery system, and that's absolutely what they're trying to do. And like removing our life skills from us in so many ways in the physical world, now they're removing our ability to think. Everyone's just, ask Grok or whatever. Now, Elon Musk is an absolute player. Now, when he came in with Doge and cleaning up all the corruption in the U.S. departments, dissolved all these different departments, simply replaced them with AI. And if there was all this corruption and all this money laundering going on and all this, why were there no arrests? Where are all the criminals that were operating in these groups and stealing all the money? We didn't hear anything about that. We just said, I've just saved all this money because you've put AI in place. Soon you'll have AI government. You'll have Trump there just as a figurehead. And the algorithms will be dictating what happens. They already know what your punishment will be because you're down on social credit scores or carbon credit points or whatever. This is stuff I've been warning people about for years. The whole crypto crew back in 2016, I was telling them, this is great what you're doing with this alternate currency, but the government is building an umbrella over the top called social crediting, whereby you're soon going to need biometrics and you're soon going to need to apply with all sorts of things in order to even get online, and that's where we're going. If you've got cryptocurrency, great, but if you can't access the internet, how do you access your cryptocurrency?
Well, just this morning, one of the many sources of info that I follow, a channel on Telegram, they reported in Indonesia, for example, but it's going to happen everywhere. Indonesia is putting in a new law for anyone dealing with crypto, any Indonesian dealing with crypto, they're going to have a universal identifier, KYC, know your customer rules. So, it was the Wild West for a few years. They always do this, right? They did it with the internet, with crypto. But as you said, they're going to build in these digital identifiers so you won't be able to have, your hardware wallet of crypto. And we see that with the whole Genius Act, all that stuff that they're doing in the U.S. now. They're formalizing the digital assets. And so they'll see everything. And
well, even to use some of those things, like there's even a card you can get now that you can actually use as a normal credit card or debit card. You can just load crypto onto it and go and spend it at any store. But you can only do it through stable coins, such as USDT and all the government-controlled coins. So even if you got something that's, very, very secure, like Monero, you've got to transfer that into a secure coin in order to use it on your card in order to spend it. So, yeah, they're finalizing the whole thing and putting it all in place. And yeah, even with cryptocurrency, I mean, it's still digital currency. It's still digital. You've got to be online. It's not something you can just pull out of your pocket and hand over. And I'm actually quite proud of the fact that I've never owned a credit card. I've never bought anything over the counter in any shop using a card as payment. I've paid cash for every single thing I've ever bought. The only thing I've ever bought with a debit card is airline tickets or maybe tea bags on Amazon. That's about it. And I've never actually used a card in the real world to buy anything. But it's getting harder and harder to do that, you know?
Yeah, I think it'll become impossible. And yeah, I mean, what you just explained that, you know, I was a guest on Spiros Skouras' show in 2020, and he asked me my thoughts on COVID. And I said, you know, way back in 2020 that basically COVID was a pretext to bring in global, and I specifically use the term oligocracy, ruled by algorithm or AI government. And that's exactly what's going on now. And we hear all this talk about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino saying, you know, there's nothing in the document, Epstein. I mean, it's all just, I mean, it's just,
it's that's incredible, the whole Epstein thing. Like for months, they were going to release the Epstein files. Oh, there are no Epstein files. It was all a Democrat hoax. I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, they keep pulling the rugs, like the IRS thing. Trump's comes out. We're gonna end the for the lower middle class IRS reporting, where they fired IRS tens of thousands of employees, and then this week the news is, oh no, they're rehiring everyone. So just one rug pull after another.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna arrest Obama. Oh, we can't arrest Obama. Yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's just whatever they can do to keep people distracted. See, people have the attention span of a goldfish, you know, so they can be up in arms about Epstein, and they'll decide we're going to arrest Obama the next day, and everyone's forgotten about Epstein, you know. And then the next day, oh, sorry, we can't arrest Obama because you can't arrest ex-presidents, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's incredible. And Trump, I mean, Trump is you should not be trusting this man. Like the whole assassination thing, this was such a fraud. This was such a fake. I mean, you can see how they positioned the reporters. They positioned, lowered the flag down. They got, he just went down and dropped down with a little blood pack on his ear. You know, there's no way that was a real assassination attempt. But it was everything they needed to make him appear like the savior. And God saved him so he could save America. And he's just flushing America down the toilet. It's incredible.
Was it MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said an angel descended or something to protect him? But to get a little geopolitical, you know, there's this talk of World War III. As you said, I agree with your assessment that World War III started years ago, and it's basically this war. Not in the traditional sense. It's psychological. It's informational. It's all that. But you know, we the headlines again are bombarding us with these talks of World War III with Russia and East versus West. In my view, you know, all this talk about BRICS and multipolarity. And you said it earlier. I think it's all of the world's governments against their own populations. And I don't really see any difference between East or West. Russia is implementing technocracy. China is. EU is. The Americas are. There's no difference. And so, just your thoughts on the on that, as well as the possibility of there being like a real shooting war. Because I could see that also happening. Because you know the Russian elite don't care about, they view their citizens as cannon fodder. I think every government views their citizens as cannon fodder, so they'd happily send them off.
Yeah, war. Yeah, well, it's good for depopulation. War's always good for depopulation. That's what it's always been about, depopulation and destroying the old world. Now, you don't carpet bomb Dresden and carpet bomb London and carpet bomb Berlin. And look what they've done in Syria, like Aleppo and Palmyra and all, just destroying the old world every way they can. They're bombing Yemen, destroying all the old world. What they've just done in Gaza, a 3,000-year-old city, they've just leveled it, you know. So it's all about, you know, wiping out, and it's like memoricide, you know, destroying the memory of the old world. And that's a lot of what it's about. I mean, the main goal here is depopulation. By whatever means possible, whatever they can get away with. There may be a hot war on the ground, but they don't really need to. They can do it through famine. They can do it through injections. They can do it through segregation. They can do it through their 15-minute cities. Once they've got people locked into 15-minute zones, they can simply declare an outbreak or a terrorist enclave or whatever in that zone and lock it all down. Once you're in your electric car and you're all geo-fenced, you'll find that your electric car won't work if you go outside your city limits. Neither will your credit card, neither will your cell phone, none of this sort of stuff. So they can just disappear people. And, I mean, you may have a hot war across Europe, but the main goal of it will be to just bomb cities and destroy remnants of the old world and take out the population. Yeah? None of it really works. None of it really makes any sense. You know, there's a group of people who live in a little country in the Middle East who wear small hats, and they desperately want the Muslims and the Christians to kill each other off. They want to destroy Amalek. And this is why, for the last 50 years, while we've seen all this migrant influx into Europe and into Britain and into Australia and into the United States, everywhere, because the United States and Israel have been out there bombing Muslim countries for the last 50 years, driving them into the West, so that people will think it's an Islamic invasion happening in the West. No, it's all been contrived. There's a plan put out in 1928 called the Kalergi Plan, where the people with small hats decided they wanted to genocide civilizations of European descent via mass migration, which is exactly what they're doing. Because, you know, these people have been kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times over the last 2,000 years, and they've got a grudge on their shoulder. They really want to take out these white European countries that have kicked them out. So that's happening in the background as well. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, Israel basically controls the United States now. Benjamin Netanyahu said about 3 months ago, we are now in possession of a superpower because Israel now completely controls the United States. Everything Donald Trump is doing, he's doing for Israel. And this is the largest weapon manufacturers and the biggest military on earth. So, you know, if you speak out against Israel, then the United States puts sanctions on you and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So this is kind of what's happening and where we're going. But a lot of people are waking up to this now as well. So, you know, as negative as it gets, I mean, I've often said that people will let this happen. You won't see any real pushback until it comes to people's own backyard. And now in the United States, it's coming to their own backyard. The state of America, have you been to America recently? It's like the third world. It's incredible. Philadelphia, you know, the even in Manhattan, there's piles of garbage everywhere. And L.A., like burnt out half of L.A. the other day. You go to San Diego, the whole center of town smells like urine. It's incredible. Homeless people all over the place. And it's like the third world. You know, everyone, you know, America is presented as this fantastic thing on TV. But when you go there and see what it's become over the last 20 years, if you go there and a lot, like I go there quite a bit. And over the last 20 years, I've seen it deteriorate to the point that, you know, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. A lot of the people within the United States simply can't see it because they're there and amongst it, you know. But it's shocking. And I've often said the only way you're going to bring down America, you can't wage a war against America because everyone's armed. You can't invade the place. If it's going to be destroyed, it's got to be destroyed from within, which is what is happening. All of the dual Israeli citizens in government. There's new organization formed called AZAPAC, which is the it's like APAC, only it's the anti-Zionist committee. So that's all formed in the United States. And a lot of pushback. There's a lot of pushback happening, and that might be the way out. I mean, through public awareness. I mean, once it gets so bad that you can't help but see it, and you realize that all of this has been legislated to happen. You know, the only thing that stops the people pushing back and making the United States great again is the government and the police. So perhaps we need to address that, you know, and it's the same in every country. So, you know, for all of the negative stuff that's going on, and, you know, you get to the point where you think, well, you know, we're almost past the point of no return, I still see it as a positive because you can't not see it now. And I think we are going to see some major pushback. It's going to get a lot uglier yet, but I think through it, I think we're going to head to some freedom after this.
Well, I saw the other day they're going to use, maybe they can use National Guard to disarm the armed American populace, or at least attempt. But you mentioned migrants, and, you know, I have nothing against, you know, I'm a migrant. I've been a migrant my whole life, and I would just love for people to, you know, easily be able to move where they like on the planet, you know, with no passports, like before World War
I. Absolutely. But when you get massive amounts just influx and they don't integrate, you know, and they're not there to integrate. They're there because they've got a chip on their shoulder because you've just spent the last 50 years bombing their country. You know, that's the problem. I mean, they've created this whole situation.
Right. That was my point, because I was going to say the last time I was here in Croatia, everything seemed like Croatia as it always was. Croatians everywhere. And again, I'm multicultural, right? And so this was the first year that I came this year, and I was shocked that everywhere now, in supermarkets, I was on islands in Croatia, and so, you know, islands, remote islands, there's Filipinos, Venezuelans, Egyptian workers, and Nepalese, Indians, and I think the government of Croatia is bringing in 100,000 foreign workers, and again, I think the point is, as you said, it's going to a radical extreme. Mm-hmm. There's no need to do that. They want to, part of it is suppressing wages for Croats and so forcing Croats to go abroad and bring in others to create this, you know, Tower of Babel, multicultural Babylonian system where, you destroy the nation, identities, families, and then, you know, we're just this one mixed pot, and then people won't have the feeling to defend their...
They have no national pride.
Right.
You know? You're not going to have the people of Croatia stand up and stand up for their country if 80% of them aren't Croatian, you know. And all the migrants who come in are beginning all the government handouts. Well, they're going, hang on a minute, I don't know if I really want to stand up against these guys because they give me a good paycheck every week, you know. They're doing the same in Australia, bringing in like 11,400 migrants a week or something into Australia. It's ridiculous. You know, Africans and stuff like that have never integrated into our society. And it's happening all over the world. So, and again, it's the Kalugi plan, the plan to genocide white European cultures. And it's only happening in white countries, you notice. Happening all across Europe, happening across America, Ireland, England, Australia. It's not happening in Malaysia. It's not happening in China. It's not happening in Africa.
I mean, even in Mexico, I thought about this. And someone looked at the statistics. There's all this, I think there's a manufactured this hubbub about gringos, Americans gentrifying Mexico City. But the actual statistic, it's a small percentage of actual Americans, you know, compared to Mexicans, is pretty much all Mexican. So it's not happening there.
Yeah, I mean, I could be called an immigrant into Mexico, but I've gone in there, I've integrated into the society. And they love having me there. I bring money to the place. I had my little bar that I was running. I mean, you know, so they've got no problem with me being there at all. I'm not trying to destroy their culture at all. But it's not the same in Western cultures, and this has all been contrived. And the reason they're doing this, I mean, they're bringing in these radical Muslim elements into like Ireland and England because they want the Christians and the Muslims to go to war with each other. They want them to kill each other off. That's the plan. That's been the plan all along. And so, yeah, they've got to do it this way. It's whether the people are going to allow it, and it's whether the people are going to wake up. I mean, unfortunately, it is almost getting to the point of no return. But through that, I mean, a lot of people, like I said, they're seeing it in their own backyard now, so they don't have any choice but to realize that this isn't happening in every single country on earth out of coincidence. It's been orchestrated to be this way, and the only ones that are going to stop it is us. You can't expect the government to stop it because the government is the one who's done it. You've got to realize these people are in abusive office, and you've got to go there and tell them to get out of the building and institute new government in all of our countries. And maybe we'll get to that point, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about civil war, and I think that's their model. We've seen in the U.S. all this talk about civil war from movies and media and government
figures.
But
you don't
need
war is the thing. You don't need war. All you need is a mass shift in consciousness. And again, if they get violent with us, well, we might have to resort to counter-violence. But I think even a lot of the police, I mean, if you get enough of the population, you get 80% of the population to stand up against the government, are the police really going to turn against their own families and their own brothers and sisters when it's that many people? Or are they going to suddenly turn around and side with the people and realize that this government is a criminal government and they need to be replaced? Otherwise, we're not going to survive as a nation. It's really getting to that point, and I think we're going to see that.
Yeah, I was just going to add that they, I think they use the Civil War. They want us fighting each other, and I've posited before, you know, they want the world to form into these regional union, globalist unions, supranational unions. The EU is the prototype. I call it the Fourth Reich, and or the new European Soviet, and they want a North American Union. And I just thought, you know, and it's hard, you know, because you mentioned guns and some of the patriotism in the U.S. and even Mexico, the nationalism. They can foment a war where the U.S. now attacks the cartels or whatever, create a civil war scenario, and the solution, again, would be integration. And just to go back to war for a second, just for fun, the issue of, well, you know, one of the reasons I also think they're running these wars, for example, in the Middle East is, and they've written about this, Council on Foreign Relations, Foreign Affairs, they want to create this Middle Eastern Union. And they've said the pretext is war in Iran. So I think, to add on to what you've been saying, that's why they're bombing many countries to then recreate. And I like how you said they're memory-holing basically history and tradition by bombing, you know, all of these ancient places and then remake it into this modern, smart Middle Eastern Union type thing. But nukes, you know, I lived in Kazakhstan and Semei for a few years, which is 100 clicks from the Polygon, the principal Soviet nuclear test site. And before I left Kazakhstan, I actually got to go visit Ground Zero. It's an 18,000 square kilometer patch where supposedly Stalin dropped the first nuclear bomb and 500 nuclear tests. And so I've explored this idea that nukes don't exist, but I still think that, that they do exist, but I don't believe in the whole nuclear winter theory. I think, you know, I think they often take some truth and then blow them way out of proportion to instill fear in us. But any thoughts on nuclear weapons?
It's a funny, it's a sort of a gray area. I mean, I can't find any real proof that they exist, but I mean, you look at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, these places shouldn't be habitable. Chernobyl shouldn't be habitable. And yet wildlife and animal life and everything's flourishing in that area. I don't think that radioactivity is what they tell us. I don't think things, you know, have a half-life of billions of years like they tell us. I don't know. I mean, the jury's out with me with nuclear weapons. I can't find any proof that they exist. And I don't think there will ever be nuclear war because the world is run as a business and nuclear war would destroy all business. Nuclear war makes no sense. However, the threat of nuclear war makes a lot of sense. It keeps people in line. So whether this whole thing's been contrived, like I said, the jury's still out. I'm not going to sit out there and categorically say nukes do not exist. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But again, I can't find any real evidence for the existence of nuclear weapons. The threat of nuclear weapons, however, is very, very effective. So, you know, it makes sense that they would say that. Even, you know, a lot of the reason people don't stand up against Israel is because of what they call the Samson option, where they think Israel's got all these nuclear warheads trained on every city on earth and they'll take out the whole world if it looks like they're going to fall. And that's why people won't step up and do anything about Israel. It could be true, may not be. But yeah, then you might have governments like the Iranian government who actually think nuclear weapons are real and maybe are trying to pursue the creation of nuclear weapons. And of course, they'll never succeed because they're running on nuclear weapons. So, I mean, it's a gray area. The whole thing is a gray area. So, I'll just leave that one until I've got more information, maybe in a few years.
No, it is. Like I said, I mean, I visited Ground Zero, and it was crazy because we drove out hours into just part of the space because it's big, but I saw underground metros. I had two of my own Geiger counters, and we did visit what was purported to be a Ground Zero where a nuke was dropped, and it was a radioactive green patch of land. But on the other hand, the rest of the zone is not radioactive. So as you said, yeah, you know, maybe there is radiation, but it dissipates quickly and you can, you know, re-inhabit those areas. So it's not, as they say, going to be radiated forever, or the nuclear winter thing. You know, for now, my thesis is that, you know, nuclear weapons exist. They'll do a lot of damage when they drop, but then that's about it. You know, it's not going to remain radiated, and we're never going to have the whole world become, you know, freeze. But anyway, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff. Are there other things? I mean, this is enough to concern us with, but, you know, are there other topics that you think about that we haven't mentioned, or other things that concern you?
No, I think what we've covered, I mean, this is the big concern. We've got to understand, like, there's a massive depopulation going on, and we're heading into a mass surveillance state, transhumanism. We're almost sort of in the post-human era now, and we're heading into transhumanism, whereby nobody's going to have any real jobs. I mean, you're going to have 3D printed homes, you'll have 3D dug plumbing, you'll have robots doing all this sort of stuff. So, you know, basically humans are becoming obsolete, and we're moving into human 2.0, where people are going to want to be part of the mainframe. They're going to want to be in a virtual reality because there's no real reality for them out here. I mean, people enjoy the virtual world often more than they enjoy life now. And ultimately what this is about is about control of human consciousness, control of the human spirit from the ground up in every single aspect. That's the danger. That's the great danger. Like I said, the biggest problem we've faced is a loss of life skills, a loss of connection to the earth, to nature, to each other. And all the rest of it, I think, is a distraction. It's all to keep you in fear, to keep you believing you need governments to protect you. And again, you know, like you come to Croatia or go to Serbia or go to France or go to Germany or go to America or go anywhere, they'll tell you this is the greatest country on earth. Don't go to any of the other places. Their economies are stuffed. They're all falling apart. We're going to keep you safe here. You know, and they convince people that they need government to protect them. Oh, you need government because the people from Serbia may come and attack Croatia. Well, it's not the people of Serbia. They don't give a shit about Croatia. It's the government of Serbia facing off with the government of Croatia. So you need the government to protect you from the other governments. It's crazy, you know, and all of these governments work together as one criminal cabal, you know. So once people see that, I mean, you know, this whole concept that we need government at all, you know, we need a state of anarchy. We need a state where people are self-governance and they're taught integrity. They're taught the seven liberal arts the way they used to be, you know, the trivium and the quadrivium, and they're taught how to think properly. People aren't even taught how to think properly anymore. So, and again, you know, it gets to the point of collapse and then people, they turn to government, please save me. It's the government that caused the collapse, you know. If you would just take responsibility for yourself, develop ties in your own community and stand up for yourselves and create cooperatives with your neighbours and things, we'd heal this whole situation. So maybe it's getting to that point. You know, that's what we're going to have to do. So I don't think there's any way to stop the direction the ship of state is sailing while the state still exists. It's got to get to the point where we just remove all support for the state and the state will collapse under its own weight. And perhaps we're getting to that point, you know. But there's not a lot you can really do. I mean, I've been out there on the front line for 20 years, even 30 years. I was speaking about all this at high school, warning people where we were going. And here we are. Now, everything I've done on the radio show and the podcast I've been doing for the last 20 years has been trying to prevent this situation we are now in from ever happening. But here it is. So it's just going to go where it's going to go. But like I said, I think enough people are noticing now that we're going to end up in a better place at the end of it. I don't think the governments have any credibility anymore. I think people are giving them less and less attention. People are following their dictates less and less. People don't really care anymore what the governments say or do. They realize that they're all invalid, and that wave is just building. So, you know, with all the negative stuff that's happening, we knew it had to get this bad, but we are birthing a new world, and birth is a painful process. And I think it's going to get worse yet, but I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel. If we can just maintain our confidence, maintain our energy levels and our positive attitude, then I think we will go through it. We've got to look at our subconscious thoughts as well. I mean, you know, if you're a defeatist subconsciously, then you're going to be defeated. But if subconsciously you see this as a time of huge opportunity and a time of great change, it's going to lead to positive results, then you will help manifest that as well. So you've got to be really careful of your own thoughts. And some of the thoughts we have, I mean, are they even our own, you know? I mean, they can do this sort of stuff through. I've had situations where, like one time when I was in Australia, I actually had a thought one day, like, oh, yeah, you should just go and get the jab, you know? And I thought, where the fuck did that come from? Why is that in my head? I realized that wasn't my thought. Someone put that there. And then I read in the newspaper the next day that there was a huge uptake of vaccines the day before. I thought, aha, this is what they do. And I've had times where I've been sitting in front of my computer and I've just thought, didn't say anything, just thought, I need to get some more turmeric for my arthritis. And then within 2 minutes, I've got two emails in my email box advertising turmeric. The computer's reading my thoughts. And this isn't any sort of crazy talk.
because I didn't even say it out loud. And turmeric's pretty random. I mean, how many emails do you get trying to sell you turmeric, you know? And it was just a thought I had. So they're already in control of people's minds, and they want more control. And I think, you know, if you're aware of where your thoughts are coming from and you maintain some sort of a positive attitude, see this as a time of great opportunity, because it is. I mean, never before in history has the workings of the mechanism been laid so bare. Everybody can see it now. All they've got to do is choose to look. And it's getting to the point where you can't not look. You can't choose not to look anymore, because it's in your face. And it's affecting everybody on a personal level in their own backyard from the ground up. So that's what's going to bring about change, I think.
Yeah, and I'll just add about the boycott thing. I think this is important. If we just don't comply with any of the governments, whatever country that we're in, their programs, their propaganda, not buying, you know, just not consuming from the monopoly, you know, the junk food that they sell, you know, that sort of stuff. And I thought as a community you mentioned, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's been a wild ride, but when I came to town here, before I came, one of my listeners was mailing me and lives here in town. And then I met up with him, and then he introduced me to our gracious hosts here. Hmm. And then through them and some of his other contacts, you know, he's formed a network here. I've been able to plug in to the network of all the Croatian dissidents. You know, next week I'm going to hang out and meet Krešimir Mišak. You've been on his show, Narubu Znanosti.
Lovely guy. Say hi for me.
Yeah, very cool. And so just, I think that's a perfect example of, and you know, it's...
This family that I'm staying with here are an incredible example, you know. And again, I mean, this family here and another dear friend of mine, who was the one who, you know, originally brought me over here, they met because of COVID activism. I mean, this family lives off-grid. They've got their own business. They support all their neighbors. They've got a really good network of people around them, and they're a great example of how to do it, you know?
Yeah, and the like minds that come together, and it does take a little bit of extra work. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I'm just happy to just be on the beach, but it's like, no, you got to make that little effort to go hang out with people. It takes some energy. What and where is next for Max?
Well, back to Mexico. I mean, I'm going to go speak in Liverpool next week, I think, next week or the week after, about 10 days from now. Go to Liberland and speak there. And then I'll be back here in Croatia for, I don't know, maybe a month. And I want to catch up with a few friends in Europe and then back to Mexico until at least February next year with a Narcopulco in February, which is being held at Puerto Vallarta this year. And then I don't know after that. I mean, I still love Australia. I'd still love to be in Australia. But, I mean, someone got jailed for 6 months the other day for posting a meme on Facebook, you know. So, you know, and they stole my phone last time I went in there. And the price of everything is insane. Like, it's like three times as much to buy anything as what it was 5 years ago. It's incredible. And my little nephew lives in a little two-bedroom shitbox. They want to put his rent up to $1,200 a week. Yeah, how do you survive in that type of a society while they're bringing in, you know, 11,400 migrants every week into the country? And now they're saying even if you've got a spare bedroom in your room, they want to give you an extra tax for your spare bedroom, or you've got to put an immigrant in there, you know? I mean, it's insane, you know? And again, this is all abuse of office. This is all breach of trust on behalf of the government. So hopefully the people of Australia will stand up. But, I mean, I'd love to go back there. I love the country. It's the only place I really feel connected to. I think you always feel connected to the place where you're born. But I don't want to – it's got to the position that if I stay in Australia, I'll be silenced. I'll be silenced, or I'll be put in jail or whatever. And I'm not prepared to do that. So, I mean, I just kind of go with the flow. I've always said if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. And that's what I've been doing for the last, you know, 20 years of my life. And I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what my plans are. But the immediate plan is to go back to Mexico until at least February and then figure it out from there.
Yeah, I've sort of gotten in a similar place as well in my middle age where I no longer feel like going anywhere to a country where I'm not a citizen. I've got three options. But at the same time, as you say, you never know which way the wind is going to take you. I guess maybe just a final question, just on Croatia, since you're here. You know, I'm a big fan of lamb, janjetina. We've got wine, seafood. You know, is there anything in particular that you've small things you've enjoyed here in Croatia? Anything about the culture that's interesting?
Oh, I love the people. I love Croatia. It's my sixth time here. I just like the people. I like the naturalness of the people. I like the attitude of the people. They're very staunch, stand up for themselves type people. They don't take any shit. I got a really good friend from Croatia who actually was sharing a house with me in Mexico as well for a long time. So I just love the people here. I'll always come to Croatia. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful part of the world. The coastline is incredible. And like with families like this family I'm staying with, they're beautiful people. You want to come and hang out with them, you know? And, the food's food wherever you go. Again, I miss Australian food. I miss Australian beef. I miss the stuff that I grew up with. So I think that will always be the case. Same in Mexico. I mean, I love the food, but I prefer the food from home, you know? And I think that's the same with everybody. But as far as the people and the place goes, yeah, I love Croatia. I love this whole area. I think it's one of the most beautiful parts of Europe.
Your link is going to be in the description, but where are the best places to find you, support you, projects?
Well, like I said, I'm banned everywhere, so you'll find me on BitChute. If you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, you'll find links there on my homepage. But I'm on BitChute, I'm on Odyssey, I'm on Rumble. I'm banned from Facebook. I'm banned from everywhere else. So that's basically, you'll find me on X as well. You'll find Max the Crow House on X, which is my fourth X account. I've been banned from X several times as well, but I've managed to open up another account. But that's about it. You won't find me on Gab, you know, but you'll find all the links on thecrowhouse.com, but mainly BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, and X is where you'll find me, and Telegram. I've got a channel on Telegram as well. All the links are on the Crow House.
Right, yeah, so the links are there. People can subscribe to your stuff, support you there, and I also want to remind people not to forget to support Geopolitics and Empire. This whole summer I was on hiatus, unprecedented. I've had poor internet or no internet in some places that I've been, and so I haven't been getting virtually no income this summer, so donate, or the best thing to do is also become an annual paid subscriber on the Geopolitics and Empire Substack. So it's been very cool.
I got banned from Substack before I even opened. So.
Yeah, so you couldn't even open it. You were
they shut down my Patreon. I applied for a Substack and they never approved it. All I've got is Stripe at the moment where people can donate, but everything else has been shut down. Patreon's been shut down. Subscribestar, they never approved it.
Even Subscribestar.
Even Subscribestar. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like even iTunes, iHeart, SoundCloud, LinkedIn. I'm banned everywhere. It's remarkable. But, yeah.
So you are a non-entity. You've been unpersoned.
Pretty much. Persona non grata, you know?
All right, Max. Well, hvala slušateljima i hvala, Max. Thank you, Max.
My pleasure.